it. But I presume that may also then include, and that's maybe something to discuss for the consultation group, a kind of time frame by which a review would take place, or which moment we would say, okay, this is working or this isn't working, or this is how we may want to course correct. Because I think over time, if this is indeed the, you know, become a kind of standard approach, it is, for example, something that we may want to codify in the PDP manual. Not the aspect of what, you know, the GAG does, but at least this requirement that, you know, the GNSO, you know, liaises and is expected to incorporate the feedback that is received, if it is received through, you know, the consultation mechanism into the issue report or something like that. But again, I think what is maybe worth discussing for the consultation group, when do you think you would have enough information to be able to assess whether it's working or not? Is that, you know, one PDP, two, three, four? So
I was going to ask the exact same question, actually, because, Jonathan, I don't know if you, I mean, I don't know where we are in terms. We started a process where we sought some GAC feedback on the IGO curative rights mechanisms, but that PDP was already well underway by the time we did that. We haven't had a test case where we opened the consultation with the GAC at the issues report stage. So I'm not sure how soon we're going to have an opportunity to do that, or how many PDPs before the pilot of the liaison's role is concluded. Do you have any thoughts on that?
So I guess two thoughts. One, it's a little presumptuous, but my feedback, my sense from the room, from the GAC, was that we got the go-ahead to proceed yesterday. So from my point of view, we got a pretty clear green light to proceed with. This is an experiment. I like what Marika says, and I thought that we would, in any event, take it back to the council to just formalize that this is where we intend to go, even if we don't codify that in our procedures at this point. And in so doing, we can also, in a sense, institutionalize a review of it. So for me, I think procedurally that feels like the right way forward. We bring it back to the next council meeting. We indicate that, in fact, I think we will talk about this at the council meeting here on Wednesday. It's on our agenda. So we'll run it by the council at that point and possibly formalize it through a motion at the next meeting. Did that answer in full your question? I'm not sure it did. I think there was a supplement to it as well.
The other question was how soon do we anticipate being able to test this out with a real live PDP?
I would like to respond. I mean, I would imagine that the next PDP to come along, as it were, but...
Right. Yeah, just that we got a request from policy staff for an extension on a preliminary issue report that we are expecting to be published soon, I guess. So it might be, March, the current state of all rights protection mechanisms for existing and future GTLDs. So maybe when that preliminary issue report comes out, maybe we could start something there. Though that should be quite soon, I think.
Okay. Marika?
Yeah, this is Marika. Just to clarify, we actually asked for an extension, so it wouldn't be published in March, but actually in October.
Oh.
But I think something else that is being lined up, but again, that's under discussion, is the preliminary issue report on the purpose of GTLD registration data. I mean, as it's currently being discussed, that may be published by April, May timeframe. So I think at least we'll know that it's likely that there will at least be two, if not three, because I know we're also talking about, you know, the new GTLD discussion group with them and making recommendations for an issue report. So I think in this year's timeframe, my expectation is that we would at least see two, if not three, PDPs that may have at least a preliminary issue report being published. So that may give you an idea what at least is coming.
Okay, so we'll at least have an opportunity to try this out at least once, if not more often. Yeah.
Yeah. And this is Marika. Maybe a question as well for the GAC members, because how much time do you think is needed now that indeed there is support from the GAC side to actually, you know, formalize your procedure for forming this quick look mechanism? I know some people yesterday made comments that maybe some further guidelines would need to be developed within the GAC to, you know, establish criteria for what would what would, could be considered as public policy, who would actually form that group, because I think we still left that in the middle as well, and I presume that's a decision for the GAC to make. Is that the GAC leadership? Is that a separate group? So maybe a question would be as well, or that's maybe feedback we need from the GAC, when you would be ready to actually, you know, operate such a process.
Anna here. So what I perceive is that in the communique, when we'll discuss the communique from this meeting, so something will be there about the process, how we are going to start. So I think that we are going to endorse all this process, and I think that maybe we will say something about next steps. I think that this group has to continue. I don't think that the time is ripe to start with another group. So I think that we have to continue to work, and bet with a test case.
Indeed, all of here, if I may fill in, because I have the same sense as Anna, and she already said that, okay, this is probably not a time to put sort of firmer decisions about principles and details, but rather to run the test case with the scope as it's been outlined in the proposal. And given the experience from the first test case, or perhaps two test cases, well, then comes the time to meddle GAC principles and such, or the particular work streams that need to be established. Perhaps not in the ultimate detail, but rather try it out and try to go as close to the book and the proposal as we can, and we see where we end up. Rather than trying to specify it right now, we're entering new territory, at least from the GAC side.
Okay, thank you. Any other thoughts on this? Sounds like we're all very much in agreement. And it's only 1:15. We're doing great. Okay. Amr?
Yeah, thanks, Mason. This is Amr. I did have a question regarding recommendation 6. So when the GAC is looking over the recommendations of the consultative group, it's just something to look into. It's not that big a deal, but...
Can you remind us what that one is?
Yeah, the way the recommendations are set up are so that the GAC will provide their input along in line with the schedule that the GNSO has in drafting an issue report and publishing it for public comment before it goes to a final issue report stage. So it's an 85-day process, if I recall correctly. And recommendation 6 was that after the quick look mechanism takes place, if the recommended response is agreed to, this response is communicated by the GAC secretariat on behalf of the GAC chair to the GNSO council liaison, which is Mason, to the GAC who communicates this information to ICANN staff responsible for developing. Well, basically the response would come through the GAC secretariat to the GNSO via the GNSO liaison. What I was wondering, and I was wondering what the thoughts of the GAC members might be, is since this is already sort of synced up with the schedule of the public comment periods of the GNSO, would the GAC be willing to submit its comment forum, which would make it available along with any other comment the community submits, and everyone would, it's just a matter of sort of having it transparently submitted along with everything else. So it's probably not necessary, but since we are sort of drawing up a new process here, but I just thought it would be something to think about, and if it could be done, I think it would be good. Thanks.
Oh.
Quick response, the one doesn't prevent the other.
No,
I mean, they're both possible. I think the main track, as it was presented, well, that's to actually convey it and use the direct channels of communication we do have through Mason. And, well, and then it's an option to to perhaps for transparency or whatever reason to perhaps have it posted, included in the public comment postings. I just sort of speculating here, but I think since this is what we were talking about, well, that's probably the way, the primary way to go, I think.
Okay. Thank you for that question, Armour. Okay, any other thoughts on the process? Welcome, Manal. Thank you for coming. There's lunch. That's okay. There's lunch if you'd like to help yourself. And if anyone else in the room would like to contribute to the discussion, just step up to the table and to a microphone. Okay, so back to the agenda. I know the other issue for us to discuss is the meeting schedule for this consultation group. Over the past several months, I know we've had some difficulty all making the calls on a regular basis. So the open question to this group is, do we need to continue to meet as often as we do, or now that we have this process in place and ready for testing, can we meet less frequently, or and start to actually work on the issues? Yeah, Marika.
This is Marika. This is just to know that, of course, this is only phase one of the PDP that we've looked at, and I think we actually said that we would, you know, work our way through the other stages. And maybe that is, you know, less work, or there's nothing specific that needs to be defined. I know, for example, you know, these recommendations in principle already feed into the second phase, which is the working group phase, or I think we still have chartering in between, but at least this also links automatically to the working group phase, because I think the idea is that if the quick look mechanism indicates that there are public policy implications, that it would also form a trigger for the GAC to start developing, you know, input to a possible PDP on the topic. So I think it is probably helpful to, you know, map through that whole process and see if there are any other elements that we, you know, need to introduce or think about, so that it's a kind of continuum throughout the whole PDP process, as this is just the issue scoping phase. And I'm not saying that, you know, for that we need weekly calls or biweekly calls. Maybe there's also something we can do on the mailing list. Maybe it requires a brief refresher as well of the different phases, so people can think about, you know, or have ideas on how that may look like. But I just wanted to note that we still have that on our agenda. And I think there's also still on the, how do we call it, the daily ongoing communications. I think we started looking at a kind of list of items or a more formalized process around how those communications could or should look. And I think that's another work item that we still have. And it may be worth as well looking back at our charter, which I think also specifically mapped out what the expected deliverables were of this group to determine where we're at and how to best deliver on that.
I think I'd support Marika on that. In summary, sort of just refreshing the scope of our work, making sure we have regular meetings but not too frequent. And the third thing I would say as well is, it feels to me like we need to check our membership and maybe invite one or two more GAC members to participate. I think we're slightly out of balance. I mean, our original concept was that we were even in numbers, and you've now got some new vice chairs. So what the way we set the meeting, the group up originally, was the chair and vice chairs. And then I'm not sure if we made any other requirement, but I think we just got volunteers. I don't think we did one per SG or anything like that. Yes, yeah, so sorry, from the GNSO side.
Okay.
From the GAC side, and then I was thinking of the GNSO membership constitution, and then from the GAC side, there was the intention was that it was approximately matched in numbers. It was a rule of thumb. It wasn't highly prescriptive, but I feel we're out of sync there. So I think that for me would be, and this meeting might be a perfect opportunity. So in my mind's eye, I can imagine calling for one, two, or three members from the GAC, say, to build up to match the member numbers, and to commit to perhaps meeting once a month between now and Buenos Aires, such that we can provide another update at Buenos Aires without driving ourselves crazy with too much work. So that feels like that's a sort of a proposal, I guess, really, around how we work between now and then and what we do with the group.
Just to concur with what Jonathan and Marika even earlier said, I think we need to refresh our scope in terms of the work ahead, looking back to our charter. And definitely this quick look mechanism would feed into even the remaining parts of our deliverables, like what if the GAC comes up with a position that is completely the opposite of what the GNSO is thinking of. How would this consultation go, or how would this input be handled within the GNSO? Because this was also one of the things that were mentioned in our charter. Again, if we identify the scope of coming work, then we would be able to better get more members that would be helpful in respect to the work ahead. And yes, I fully agree, we need to have some more from the GAC side. We started many more than we are now. You already took, Carlos, your side. He used to be GAC, now GNSO. And Hema, after being a vice chair, she's even more loaded now and cannot participate. So we really need some replacement from the GAC side, and we will work on this definitely. And finally, yes, I'm with slowing the rate of the conference calls, but also keeping the momentum and keep the work going. But have calls on concrete agendas and try to maximize the attendance, because if we just keep the calls ongoing with one or two participants, then it doesn't really become that productive. So, thank you.
Now, do you have a view of frequency?
Sorry, do you have a view of frequency of calls? Every 2 weeks, every 3 weeks, every month? I mean, I wonder what we should do.
I think empty slots that the accountability and the IANA transition doesn't take. I think everyone now have full schedule with the IANA transition and the accountability. But again, maybe every 3 weeks. We used to have every 2 weeks. So, and this seems to be quite frequent. So, not sure. Again, in your hands, I'm also. I want to be triggered by the work and the agenda ahead. So just, and if we maintain some good exchange also over email, this would spare people here the conference calls, unless they want otherwise.
Right. Hold on. Go ahead, Mark.
Yeah, this is Marika. One suggestion I can maybe make is I'm happy to have a look at the charter, at you know what we initially set out as our work plan, and maybe come back to the group with a kind of proposed work plan for between here and Buenos Aires, and then maybe indeed, as Manal suggested, Jonathan, maybe you know in 3 weeks' time, have a call and walk through that, see if indeed people are on the same page with that, and see if we can you know set up work in that way, and maybe indeed do a bit more on the list. One other thing to note is, and that probably will require as well, Thomas's involvement, because discussed with Jonathan that we have again the special community budget request coming up, and you know the current liaison is funded through that way to come to ICANN meetings and participate in meetings, and I think we initially said we do run a 1 year pilot, evaluate it at the end, but as it's still you know very in the early phases and the deadline for requests is already at later this month, we saw we at least should already put in that request again to make sure that we both groups can continue with that if need be. But I think that probably will require as well you know, Thomas to sign off on that. And I'm happy to base on the last one to prepare that request. And maybe through you, Manal, if you could you know, take that to Thomas or Olaf so we can get that in. I think the 28th is the deadline, unless anyone strongly believes we shouldn't go down that path.
Any thoughts on that?
I should probably stay out of that discussion for now.
Okay. Back to Amr and then Olaf.
Sorry.
You're done? Okay. Olaf.
Now, from the perspective of what we're planning to do, it seems pretty obvious that we should file a renewed community request for next year. So we'll work on that. I don't think there will be any particular problems with having Thomas subscribing to it.
Yes, sure. We're going to work on that. And again, it was highlighted yesterday that we don't want to complicate matters further. So I would really like that things go smooth and we can cooperate without... So you now have Suzanne as your counterpart from the GAC side and also Olaf from the Secretariat side, just to be very specific on how we can communicate, because there's also Thomas and myself, and I mean, I don't want to confuse things for you, because from the GNSO side, it's very clear we have Mason as our liaison, but we have to be as clear from our side also for Mason to be able to communicate directly. So,
if I may, now that the secretariat function for the GAC is more settled, I think I'll have an easier time as well. Just an observation. Okay.
Sorry, question.
Yeah, Amr.
Yeah, I was just wondering, what do you mean by Suzanne being the counterpart to Mason? Is Suzanne going to be a GAC liaison to the GNSO, or?
No.
Or is no, if I may. Yeah, it, when I first started doing the role, I had no one really, I didn't know to whom I should communicate inside the GAC in order to get messages from the GNSO to the GAC. So Suzanne volunteered to be that person, at least temporarily, until we had a more formalized process or until the secretariat position for the GAC was ready to go. So, no, it's not a liaison or anything of that nature.
Okay.
Okay. So, Jonathan.
Just a comment on that one, and I suppose the other thing, and I think this will come through the ongoing work of the group as we refresh our look at the charter and anything else that's been going on, but I just wanted to remind us that we put Mason's role in place. We set up the GNSO liaison to the GAC as that. The purpose was to provide a mechanism by which the GAC could be made aware of GNSO policy-related activity. So the primary function was in the direction of the GAC. I realize the whole point of this is to have a collaborative relationship, but we must be careful that because we thought of other mechanisms, like, for example, and we touched on it a moment ago, regular communication between perhaps the chairs and the vice chairs. So we must just be careful that we don't think of putting everything on Mason's obviously competent shoulders, but we must just remember that the scope of what we intended with the GNSO liaison to the GAC, and also make sure that we retain other channels open as well. So that's just a reminder, I guess, a collective reminder to all of us, including myself, that we just need to be aware of that. Thanks.
Thank you, Jonathan. Manal?
Yes, very helpful indeed. I was just trying... I'm all the time aware that you're not on the GAC mailing list, so just to keep you informed also, we need someone from the GAC side really working closely with you so that we can facilitate your work and benefit the most from our side as well. And I think with this quick look mechanism or what the early GAC engagement in the PDP, it would also feed into the day-to-day cooperation even, and implicitly this would, I'm not worried about the day-to-day cooperation, I think. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. So, Marika, if I think I understand the conversation on this up to this point, we're discussing not meeting every 2 weeks, but having you propose a meeting schedule at least through up until Buenos Aires, and that you and Olaf will cooperate to put in a request to extend the pilot program for the liaison role. Do I have that right? Okay. Did I miss anything in the room? Okay. Any other discussion on this? Any other business to discuss? All right. Have I forgotten something? Is it really that easy that we're finished? Okay.
I guess that's why we're moving.
Okay, then we have. Yes. Jonathan. Yeah.
Well, no, it's nothing complicated. No curveball at the end. But you know, I just to be clear, I've obviously been pretty absent, or more than I would have liked to have been, from the work of this group because of the whole distraction of co-chairing the CWG group, which has been an enormous workload. So just letting you know that it isn't a reflection of my lack of interest. And also, on the back of that, a vote of thanks to Mason, who's really stepped into this and gone beyond what was originally envisaged and been extremely helpful in keeping the group on track. So thanks, Mason, and it's great.
Thank you very much. All right, we're adjourned. Thank you, everyone. Thank you.
Thank you for lunch again.
Yeah, thank you again, Brian. Thank you for lunch, yes.